T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
I made a special sauce. Do you want to hear about my sauce, Derek? Do you want to hear about it?
Yes, Nate. I would love to hear about your special sauce.
I made like a...
Sports Talk Saturday.
You good?
I can't even do this show because you're a child. Like, my producer is a child.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
That's a very true sentiment there. We love you, Derek.
Look, I make fun of Nate with these opens all the time, so it's only a matter of time that I have to make fun of myself.
Yeah, or make fun of me, too.
Oh, welcome. Give it time.
Welcome back in. Sports Talk Saturday on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson here with you. Nate is off for this week. He will hopefully be back with you guys next week to talk more wonderful stuff in the world of sports. We're going to go to the Wester Hotline right now, though. We're going to bring in NHL.com's Mike Zeisberger. He's joining us here. Mike, first off, thank you for taking the time to join me. Hope was all well with you and your family during these times.
Listen, thanks very much for having me. Yes, thankfully, everything's good with myself and my family, friends, and I hope the same goes for you and all of your listeners there. Thanks for having me on again, and always a pleasure to talk to my friends in Buffalo.
Well, Mike, we're doing well here as well, but before we get going here on this conversation, I definitely want to ask you real quick about, because here in here in Western New York, and it's kind of spread all around the social media world, but Jeremy White, our morning show colleague here, he started a trend on Twitter with Sports Jersey Saturday. And it's where you pretty much wear a jersey, you tweet it out, and you send it out with the hashtag Sports Jersey Saturday. And when we were doing these conference calls, and I noticed that you were on, and you had a Ogie Oglethorpe jersey. I just want to know, how in the heck did you get an Ogie Oglethorpe jersey? Obviously, for people who don't know, he's obviously one of the main villain players in Slapshot. So I just want to know how you got that, and maybe is that your most unique jersey, or what do you got?
Definitely. No, and yeah, it was funny because during the, as you referred to, when the Sabres were doing their Zoom calls, so we were all, it looked like the old Hollywood Squares type times three, 18 or 19 people on the Zoom call, and my buddy John Wara with the AP goes, "Zeiss, what's that jersey hanging over your shoulder?" Yes, it is indeed a Syracuse Bulldogs Ogie Oglethorpe jersey. And it's genuine, okay? It's not any of that stenciled stuff on there. The logo is sewed. The name is sewed on the back. Kind of a Flyers motif, which is kind of apropos, given the way that, Oglethorpe was kind of was the main goon in that whole thing. But I got it at the Hockey Hall of Fame, I'm thinking about 15 years ago. There's a souvenir store there. Great. It's got pretty much everything. They had, obviously, the Hansons are the ones from the movie Slapshot that are the most popular, but they also had Hanrahan, the goalie, McCracken, the captain of Syracuse, but I had to go with Oglethorpe. I mean, it's always a great line that I laugh at. Being from Toronto and from Canada, there's a line in the movie where the announcer goes, "Oh, this young man has had a troubled first season. What with his deportation to Canada and that country's refusal to accept him." So, it's one of my most coveted things. I'm actually every hockey pool that I'm in My team is called the Ogeoglothorpe. There is one that I'm in with a lot of national people, whether it be one hockey pool with Scott Burnside and Pierre LeBrun and all a bunch, Chris Johnston, all a bunch of the top hockey media. But they all are, they're all envious of my name because I grabbed it and put my trademark on it. I am the owner of the Ogeoglothorpe.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome. Well, thank you for sharing that story. And that's a great jersey, and I really appreciate that.
I may have to post that, right?
Yeah.
WGR in it?
Absolutely, absolutely. We'll retweet it. Use the hashtag SportsJerseySaturday, and that'll certainly get some attention there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll make sure I do that.
All right. Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com joining me here on the Wester Hotline. He has been part of the week that was of press conferences with the Sabres via the Zoom conference calls. So obviously, Mike, let's get started with that. And this might be a little bit of a heavy question to ask right off the bat, but obviously, this past season for the Sabres did not live up to maybe some people's expectations here. I don't know if playoffs were necessarily an expectation, but to finish 25th out of 31 teams is once again just a disappointing finish for many people around this area. And listening back to what you heard from Ralph Krueger, what you heard from Jason Botterill this week, do you believe, from at least from a national perspective, that they have what it takes to turn around this organization and possibly get them back into the playoffs as soon as next season?
Yeah, I do. I think that they showed flashes. I think that, you know, I come down and cover a lot of Sabres games, do stories down there, and I see progress. I mean, I'm a big Ralph Krueger guy. I just think that he brings so much more to the table that more than X's and O's that people don't see. He's a great motivator. I just think, you know, when you look at the Sabres, and it just goes to show you what kind of sport hockey is and how different it is from basketball, where if you have two dominating players, I'm not saying that'll win you a championship, but that will, because there's only, they only use eight or a lot of teams only use eight or nine guys in basketball. Those two marquee players can be good enough to at least make you a force in the league. But, you know, you look at the Sabres. I mean, Jack Eichel, the way his progression, not only as a leader, but in his play. I know it wasn't Connor McDavid. I always remember Tim Murray after Edmonton won the draft lottery that year. I feel sorry for my fans, or I feel sorry for our fans. I know that was construed in some circles, you know, as a shot against Jack, and I don't think that's what it was. I think that it was, you know, Connor McDavid is a generational player. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, and he wanted to play in Buffalo. So that was a tough pill to swallow. But I've loved what Jack has done. Rasmus Dahlin, I don't think that people really understand what this kid has accomplished before his 20th birthday. I mean, I remember Paul Maurice, the coach of the Winnipeg Jets, telling me once back when he coached the Leafs that when you have a defenseman, he said it takes about 160 to 200 games, in Paul Maurice's estimation, to get a handle on how good a defenseman somebody's going to be. And I think that, I think that down the road, Dahlin has the potential to be a Norris Trophy contender. So you've got those pieces. I just think that, you look at the past history of the Sabres here. They just haven't been able to get that supporting cast right. And, I know there's something that went around in the press box during one of the games this year where it came out that, you know, for years the Sabres kept signing all of John Tavares' wingers off of Long Island from the Islanders.
Yeah.
So they figured out that a lot of those point totals came because they were playing with John Tavares. So, I just think that they got to do a better job surrounding those two guys with a better supporting cast. And, you know, does it sound simple? Yes. Is it easy to do? It's nowhere near as simple as it sounds.
Mike Sykesberger joining us here from NHL.com on the West Herr Hotline. So what exactly, in your mind, do the Sabres need to look and focus on primarily this offseason? Is it goaltending? Is it, you know, outside of just the surrounding cast around Jack Eichel? But what are maybe some of the key positional areas that the Sabres should focus on in order to give them that much of a better chance moving forward of breaking this playoff drought that's extended 9 years now?
Well, I think that what they have to do first is take a good hard look at the people that they have in some of these positions and say, are these guys just, you know, are these guys difference makers? And a couple of, you know, you look in goal. I didn't think they were bad between the pipes this year, but are those the guys that can be difference makers? I mean, you tell me, how many games did the Sabres goalies win for them this year? How many games have the Sabres goalies won for them in the past 3, 4, 5 years since Jack Eichel has been there?
Right.
Yeah,
it has been many.
You look at that. Yeah, and then you look at the defense, and like after Dahlin, I mean, we're just a year removed from Ristolainen having the worst plus-minus in the National Hockey League. I understand that Ralph Kruger wants him to be part of the team. He said so as much yesterday, a day after, by the way, that Ristolainen thought that, you know, we didn't make it again. So you figure that changes are coming, and if there's going to be changes, I'm probably one of the guys that is going to be moved. But, I mean, Ristolainen, and I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you are on the call too. When a player, you know, cites openly, and this isn't the first time, but say, hey, I think I'm going to be moved. He's spoken, you know, Buffalo has been a great place for me to live and play. When you say something in the past tense like that, the first thing that jumped out at me is this guy thinks he's gone and wants to be gone.
Right.
And for all the things that Ralph Kruger does, and he's such a great motivator, you just wonder if are you doing more harm than good by having a guy on your team, no matter how talented that he is, that doesn't want to be there? So you talk about positions where the Sabres can bulk up. I've always thought that they needed more scoring. That's some, especially in the league, this, the way the league is now, where we've come back to seeing a lot of 5-4 games and scoring games. I think they need punch there, but more punch up front. But those are the two question marks that I have. Number one, are there goaltenders difference makers? And number two, after Dahlin, you know, there's a lot of question marks on the blue line, but with Ristolainen, is he past the point of no return? Can you get him to buy into the system where he wants to be in Buffalo? Or, you know, do you buy into the indications that, you know what, I mean, he thinks that his time is done, and how motivated are you going to have, is he going to be if he wants to be somewhere else?
Right, and another thought with the Ristolainen talk is just the fact, is just comments like that, not only would it maybe rub some of your, you know, teammates or your management the wrong way, but would that rub other teams the wrong way? Obviously a guy like Ristolainen in the past years has gotten some interest from, you know, obviously you're in Toronto, the Leafs, there's been plenty of talk with the Leafs and possible interest in Ristolainen. Do you think that is going to affect maybe some other teams' interest, and I guess where might be a good fit for Ristolainen, and is Toronto maybe still a decent fit for him?
Well, I just don't. I'm not sure that he can. You know, we don't know what the salary cap situation is going to be, but whatever it is, the Leafs are pretty hard up against it. So I'm not sure if they can what they're going to do with their defense and whether they can fit him in there, but. It may scare off of some teams, but I think, you know, a lot of teams that look at the player and what he can bring to the table and will just say, look, you know, maybe at this point he had morphed into a round peg trying to get into a square hole. The fit just wasn't there, but they look at him as a player and say, he can help us. So I think that, you know, what Sabres fans may have a little bit of angst over, and they certainly don't want to have a player on their team that you know, at least indicates he doesn't want to be there. But, you know, the last time somebody made comments, albeit, you know, in a different vein, but about the culture in that was Ryan O'Reilly.
Right.
And a year later, he's lifting the Stanley Cup, and Sabre fans are going, obviously with that trade to the St. Louis Blues, the Sabre fans are going like, you know what, we didn't really get enough for him. I think the jury's still out on some of the guys that they got in return. But now, if you're looking at a Ristolainen trade, that's got to be in the back of a lot of fans' minds. Is, well, you know what, are we actually going to get fair value in return this time? And, you know, I just want to add, there's been a lot of criticism of Jason Botterill, and I understand and agree with a lot of it, but the one thing I do give him credit for, he has tried to make moves to add to this team. I thought that at the time when he brought in Connor Sheary, that was a good move, but it didn't work out. But I'm still waiting for that, you know, the O'Reilly trade aside, I'm still waiting for that impact move where, you know what, maybe you shake things up a bit, because Buffalo is such a great hockey town, and for that team and franchise to not have made the playoffs for 9 consecutive seasons, you know, something's got to be done, and you know, something major in my estimation.
Mike, obviously the comments from Jack Eichel were very strong comments on Thursday, just with how he's fed up with losing, and you know, the past little bit here has started to wear on him just a little bit. What do you think a season like this will do for Jack Eichel moving forward? Because, I mean, obviously we've continued to see rises in his game every single year as he tries to become that generational type player that has been pegged on him since he got drafted. But what do you think that is in store for Jack Eichel next?
Jack Eichel, I mean, you know, the growth that I've seen in Jack, not only as a leader, not only on the ice, but off the ice as well. You know, I don't want to say it's been surprising, but I wasn't sure he'd ever get to that point. But he's been very impressive. I know, you know, when he was a rookie, he wore his emotions on his sleeve. You know, sometimes people kind of thought he might have been a little bit standoffish, but we forget sometimes that these guys are 18-year-old kids when they come in, and this is an entirely different world. You know, you come to a franchise that where the fan base thought they were going to get Connor McDavid, and again, that's no slight against Jack, but there's a lot of pressure on you, and you need help, like was my point earlier. I mean, hockey, as cliche as it sounds, is a team game, and one guy cannot do it. But the advances that he's made in his game on the ice have been outstanding. And I will revert to something, you know, last month Mark Scheifele of the Winnipeg Jets wrote something in the Players Tribune in which he picked all the award winners in his estimation for the National Hockey League season. And he picked Jack Eichel as the Hart Trophy winner for MVP. So, you know, we can debate in the media all we want who might be able to win the Hart, but this is one of his peers, okay? And an elite player in his own who thought that Jack got a great endorsement. I think he's going to feed on off that. And, you know, I agree with Ralph Krueger when he says good for Jack to saying he's fed up with losing, because would you want the face of your franchise to accept losing? No, that's not what you want. So I think there's some great things ahead for Jack. I think he's just going to get better and better. And one quick thing, I did a story during the season in which I talked to Sabres Hall of Famer Gilbert Perreault. And Perreault told me that if Jack spent the majority of his career in Buffalo, that he thought there's a good chance that Jack could eclipse every major scoring record with the Buffalo Sabres. So I think that's about as good as an endorsement as I can.
So I'd agree with you there. Last thing I want to ask you about, Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com here on the Western Hotline. Just want to get your thoughts on the 2014 return to play format that's expected to progressively continue to move along here. Obviously, the format was announced, and the guidelines for phase two were brought about, and hopefully here we'll get back to hockey maybe in late July, early August. But just want to get your thoughts on the direction of that, and obviously with you living in Toronto and being around the Leafs, how do you think the Leafs are going to look or fare in this format?
Well, first of all, you know what? There was never going to be a perfect format, and people were going to bitch about it. But the fact is that this was a collaborative between the players and the owners. So I think this is probably, you know, the best of a bad situation that they could have come up with. So I don't have that many issues with it. You can always poke holes in it, but any proposal was going to be flawed in some way. So I don't have a problem with it. And you know, by the way, kudos to the league and the players for coming together on this, because if you look what's going on with Major League Baseball, you understand, even more that how good that cooperation between the players and the league was to get this done. As for the Leafs, you know, they're going to be relatively healthy when they come back. They've got, they were playing better at the time. It's one of those things where you looked at that team on paper, or you saw some of the games. Their last game before the league was paused for the pandemic, they beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. They were very impressive. This team, when it fires on all cylinders, is as exciting and as competitive a team as you'll find. But it's a question of finding that consistency. And I think that, a lot of them got used to the new coach, Sheldon Keefe. So, you know, 3 out of 5 to start, and we all know what Columbus did last year to Tampa Bay, so in the first round by sweeping them. So, the Leafs are in for, they're going to have their hands full. But, if you're looking from a pure talent perspective, I think they're one of the more talented teams in the league. Whether they can find that consistency remains to be seen, because you know what? You get off to a slow start in this tournament, and within a week, you're back home. So it's going to be interesting, but I know a lot of the fans are anxiously awaiting and hoping, and again, safety and health above everything else, but hoping that we do get hockey and that this plays out.
Amen to that. Mike, thanks again for taking the time to join me this weekend. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and hopefully we'll be able to talk some hockey again soon, and some actual real hockey that's happening on a sheet of ice instead of hypothetically.
Listen, thank you so much for having me. It's always great to jump on the station with you guys, and to all my friends in Buffalo, be safe and be healthy. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks again, Mike. Mike Zeisberger from NHL.com joining us here in the Western Hotline. We'll step aside. We'll come back, and I'll get you the story that Chad DeDominicis wrote yesterday about two players that the Sabres should show interest in this summer, this offseason, and try to acquire them to help this team be that much better. I'll get to those players next here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If you like losing, first of all, you probably won't get to this level. And second of all, you should probably choose another profession. It's not a good feeling when you lose, and it shouldn't be. I think it should anger guys, it should disappoint guys, frustrate guys. And I think that's a lot of the emotions that a lot of guys have. And it's about sort of channeling that in the right direction, I think, for us going into the offseason. I don't think anyone's satisfied, anyone's happy with where we're at or where we finished.
That's Sabres forward Jeff Skinner. He spoke with the media on Thursday for his end-of-season press conference. If you missed that, it's available on demand at WGR550.com. Anything that you might have missed from this past week pertaining to the Sabres, you can find it on the website in story form or also in audio form in our on-demand section. 803-0551-888-552-550. If you got a prevailing thought on the Sabres, on the Bills, anything in the world of sports, you're more than welcome to give us a call. More than welcome to let us know what you're thinking about on this Sports Jersey Saturday, Sports Talk Saturday. We're here with you. We're here to talk about anything that you really want to. I've been talking a lot of hockey, and that's completely fine. I know some of you aren't happy about that, but it is what it is. That's what's going on. Tease a little story coming up here in a little bit. I'm doing it right now. Here's your story that I teased heading into the break. So Chad DeDominicis, if you have not seen this story, and if you're not following on Twitter, I don't know why you're not following on Twitter. You should. At CM DeDominicis, and that's spelled DeDominicis. CM DeDominicis on Twitter. Be sure to follow him. And he put up a story yesterday about two players that the Sabres could acquire from a specific team that could help them out up front at the forward ranks. And in the article, he mentions that there was an article written from Kevin Kurz from The Athletic. He wrote a 9-step plan for the Sharks to be a playoff team. And he wrote that a few weeks ago. And he outlined moving that. He said that moving a few defensemen and forwards will help turn their team around. And he did mention one forward that is in his article, while Chad brings up another forward that wasn't mentioned, however, has gotten reportedly some interest from the Sabres. The player that was mentioned in Kevin Kerr's article, and I would love to have him, is Kevin LeBanc. Now, if you've been listening to the show for a while and listening to the station, I was a guy that I thought Kevin LeBanc should have been offer sheeted last year, and then the Sharks ended up re-signing him to a one-year, $1 million contract, which was just A, highway robbery, but B, it pretty much goes to show that, oh, hey, a team could have offer-sheeted a guy that scores a lot of goals and is very good offensively and could put up some points. You could have offer-sheeted him and probably got him from San Jose because San Jose is against the cap and they had cap troubles and you couldn't bring him back, and they couldn't bring him back if it was a high enough offer sheet. But then again, you know, Montreal decides to try and offer sheet Sebastian Aho, and everyone kind of laughed at it. And now it might be a sign that, oh, hey, offer sheets may never happen again because it's a joke because that of how it was executed with Sebastian Aho. But the Sharks right now, looking at their salary cap situation, their final salary cap space this year, of course, because the season is over for them as well. And by the way, if the Sabres did want to make these moves with the Sharks, they could do it. It's available to them right now. They could do it at 12:45 tonight. Today, they could do it. I mean, maybe they should, but they probably won't. But their final cap space this year was a little under $650,000. This upcoming offseason, they'll have Melker Carlson, Joe Thornton as free agents, Stefan Nason, who, yeah, whatever. They have a restricted free agent in Antti Suomela. Tim Heed, Jacob Middleton, Brandon Davidson, Aaron Dell. Some of those guys are free agents. Their big restricted free agent, though, let's see here. I'm just wanting to double check to make sure this is right. Yeah, their big restricted free agent at this point right now is Kevin LeBanc. That's their big restricted free agent name. And again, he made only $1 million last year. Signed a new deal, and it was $1 million, and the Sabres could have offer-sheeted him, and they probably would have been better for it, just because he is a very good scorer. He could put the puck in the back of the net. He's very instinctual offensively. His defensive game, not great, but, I mean, really, he has been able to put up some really good production throughout his career with the San Jose Sharks. This past year, a little bit of a down year. 14 goals, 33 points in 70 games. The year before, 17 goals, 56 points in 82 games. And this is a guy that can score. He can move the puck around, be a really good asset that way. Only negative was he was a minus 33. But again, this Sharks team this past year just seemed completely lost. And the second they fired Pete DeBoer. They brought in Bob Bugner, and Bob Bugner is just like, he didn't do anything with Florida either. So if the Sabres could get Kevin LeBanc, and Chad really does a nice job pointing out just he bringing up some of the advanced statistics, and you know, he says that the player that perhaps makes the most sense for the Sabres to pursue in trade discussions is Kevin LeBanc. He took a step back in production this year after a career high in goals and points during last season, and although his point production was down, his on-ice impacts were significant. So I think Kevin LeBanc would be a nice little addition. And the other addition that Chad brought up in his article is Tomáš Hertl. And this is the guy that Kevin Kurz in his Athletic article did not mention, but Chad did write in his article. He says that the reason that I've heard from multiple team sources that the Sabres, they were quite interested in him and will try to convince the Sharks to consider a trade during the offseason. And if the Sabres can get Tomáš Hertl, that would be a really nice addition as well. Hertl's been a proven scorer in the league. He's been a proven offensive guy. And I know that he's coming off of a significant knee injury. I think he tore both his ACL and his MCL in his knee. He took a really weird run into the boards. Torn MCL and ACL, suffered that back in January. And he's a guy that certainly has kind of established a name for himself in the league. Remember, he's the guy that kind of forced Marty Biron into early retirement. Sorry, Marty. With his 4-goal performance and kind of undressing him in front of the net. So Hurdle's a guy, former first-round pick, is a guy that I think certainly should be a name that should be of interest for the Sabres this offseason if he's made available and if they can make a trade for him. 16 goals, 36 points in 48 games this year before his injury, but in years past, he's put up 74 points, 46 points, 46 points. Obviously, last year, not this past year, 19-20, but 18-19, he really stepped up his game, almost being a point-per-game player in the NHL. So if the Sabres can figure out a way to get one or both of those guys this offseason, I am absolutely 100% all for it.
So I've got a two-part question for you here.
Okay.
One. What do you think it would take to get a player like Kevin LeBanc? Because I don't think that Hertl is as realistic. They've committed long-term to him, and I think that Hertl is probably safe as a Shark. What do you think the price is for a player like Kevin LeBanc? What are you comfortable giving up?
Let's see here. It is mentioned here in Chad's article. So Chad writes here, if the Sharks do move a defenseman off their roster, as Kevin Kurz suggests in his article, sending a player like Brandon Montour to the Sharks instead of in exchange for LeBanc could make sense. And I think that makes sense too. I think Montour, while he's shown some nice little nice things in his game while he's been here, I don't know if he's necessarily been what has been expected of him here, and I don't know if he can be. I think that he's been decent, but again, the defensive part of his game is the biggest question, as is a lot of questions with this defensive group at the Sabres. But
you know, Montour strikes me as Botchel got him for Housley.
Right.
A puck moving transition type defenseman. And a guy that can help with getting the puck up the ice.
Right, and he is a prototypical type defenseman that a lot of teams are looking for and should be looking for, because I think the big lumbering defenseman in front of your net, that age is kind of just dying out. I mean, sure, you'd like to have a guy that can clear the front of the net, as should anybody, but really, I think it just should be in the nature of a hockey player to be able to do that. But, you know, if they have to move a guy like Montour for Kevin LeBanc, or even to get Tomáš Hertl as well, by all means, I think they should. They need the offensive production. They need the capabilities to have a guy that can put the puck in the back of the net. I'm more than willing to make a move like that.
Yeah, I would think that would be okay, because also getting rid of a right-hand shot does help clear up a little bit of the logjam again that is still there. I'm not angry about this at all. No, I'm not going to therapy for it.
Well, be sure to go check it out. I'll retweet Chad's tweet about the article. I think I already did this morning, but I'll do it again. And be sure to go check that out, just because that there are some good things from Chad there. And be sure to read it and really check out what could be if the Sabres could get both Tomas Hertl and Kevin LeBanc from the Sharks. That'd be great. One of those guys would be great. I'd be happy with it. 803-0551, 888-552-550. Greg Vorse from Spectrum News Sports coming up at 1 o'clock. We'll talk some more Sabres and possibly some football as well here on WGR. All right, we're back here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR Sports Radio 550. Again, Sports Jersey Saturday. Plenty of good jerseys out there already today. Feel free to post yours on Twitter, and you can use the hashtag Sports Jersey Saturday. Also, be sure to I'll be sure to hit up Jeremy White in the mention there. Mention him. Mention WGR 550. Feel free to do that as well.
I've decided personally to rock the original sweater that we had for the 11-day power play. It's got the GR insignia on it as well, so that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
And that's where I, the first time, got to become rather infamous when this was the surfing on the stick celebration. That was the one where Lezakowski comes in the locker room. Which one of you idiots did that?
Yeah.
Yep, that was me.
Well, I didn't score in that one. I did score in this most recent one.
And, score in the last one.
Unfortunately,
cool.
I won't be able to play in this one just because I did have knee surgery back in October, and I will not be ready to take part in this year's event. So I'll be back in 2021, though. It'll be a good time, good event.
Hoping that we can play, too.
Yeah, I know.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, lots of things that are uncertain about this world nowadays, but hopefully, again, hopefully we can kind of get back to somewhat of a realm of normalcy after this is all over. But, yeah, I mean, we're here, though. We're here trying to keep you entertained, trying to provide you some good content to talk about. And thanks again, everybody, for tuning in and joining us. Just a quick reminder before we head to break, starting on Monday, WGR Sports Radio 550's texting is going to change a little bit. So instead of texting your thoughts in on our text line at 550-550, now you'll be able to text us at our regular number. You'll be able to call and text us at 716-803-0550. So you can text us, call us there. And, of course, you can still use our toll-free number as well, 1-888-552-550, but don't text us there because we won't get your text. So starting Monday, 803-0550 is the number to call or text us to let us know your thoughts on anything that's going on that we're talking about right here on WGR. Greg Vorse from Spectrum News Sports coming up next here. 1 hour to go on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.